Good morning, church. How are you? Before I introduce myself, I'm not your regular pastor, but before I introduce myself, let's pray. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here with your people. Thank you for the leadership here at Morning Chapel. Thank you for its community. Thank you for their families. And Father, I just pray a great blessing over your word today. Make your word come alive through me. Father, I've been praying that I'm able to give these people what you want me to tell them. Father, let me be lost in this message. Let me just be the audio and let you come alive and be here. Please be here with us today. Just love you so much. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, welcome. My name's Chad, and I'm not a pastor. I've done speaking. I've been a leadership speaker for 15 to 20 years. If you ever heard of John Maxwell or John Gordon, I'm a certified speaker with them. I build sales and marketing team. I'm a basketball coach. I'm a dad. I could go on and on and on. So I'm here today as a guest speaker. I believe your pastor's on vacation, which pastors need rest to be refilled and recharged. And I just pray that I give you the message that God has given me to give to you. I'm praying so hard about this with being here with you today. Have great friends, Bob and Renee Anderson, that I can't say enough about their leadership and their love and empathy for just others and be willing to pour into others. So I'm just very honored to be here. So let me just show you my family here real quick with technology here. Let me just share. Oh, let me go back here. Let me just share the screen. Just want to introduce you to my family. Right here. So here they are. All of us. This is my 25-year-old son, Mackenzie. And yes, you can say I look too young to have a 25-year-old. That's fine. I'll take it. This is my wife, Corey. This is Haley. This is our 11-year-old Haley. This is our 10-year-old right there in the blue, light blue there, Alexa. And our little guy, 7-year-old Flynn. Let me just see. I think I got one more picture of us all, too. Yep, here's another one of us all. Had a beard back then. Now that my beard hair is just growing on top of my head now. But there we all are again. Visited the Indianapolis Speedway last summer. Really last spring break. What we do is we go to we end up going to Oklahoma. Corey has a sister who lives in Oklahoma. Every spring break, we go to Oklahoma to visit. And on our way out, we usually stop halfway, drive. And on our way out, we stop halfway and do something fun. And then drive the next day and get there, stay a week. And then on the way back, we stop halfway, do something fun. And then we finish our trip home. Well, last year, we visited Noah's Ark. I believe it's in Kentucky somewhere, and that was amazing. Ever get a chance to see the live version of Noah's Ark, get a chance to take a look at that. I mean, the kids loved it. I should have showed you pictures of that. On the way back, though, my son, youngest son, Flynn, is really a race fan, any kind of racing he is into. And so we toured the Indianapolis Speedway. Even though it was raining, we still got out and kissed the bricks. Okay? So let's get started. How's that sound? Let's get started on this message. And the first thing I'm going to do is, and I have this nice, crisp $20 bill right here. And if I were to give this away today, who would want it? And I'm sure a ton of hands. If I would just give you 20 bucks, I'm sure nobody's passing it up. Correct? Correct. Okay, hold on a second. Let me do something. Hold on a second. Oh, my nice I mean, this was one of those crisp $20 bills. All right. Now, if I were to give this away, who would still want this $20 bill? You, all of you? Oh, okay. Hold on a second. Let me hurry it up. Here, hold on a second. Let me stomp on it. Ah, oh man, now it's all dirty. Stomped on. Eric, filthy. Who would still want it? You all would still want it? Man. What's on my heart? Anywhere I go, what's on my heart is it didn't matter what I did to this $20 bill. It didn't matter what I did. People still wanted it. People still wanted it because the value remained the same. Just because I crumpled it, just because I stumped on it, just because it got dirty, even if it ripped a little bit, the value didn't change. Isn't it ironic that life often beats us up to the point where we feel inadequate as people? We deal with some bad circumstances. We make some bad choices. God knows I've made plenty of bad choices that we have to deal with. However, no matter what we go through, do you realize that your value doesn't change just like this $20 bill? I want to come at you before I even got in this message. I want to prepare you. Don't live your life looking for acceptance, approval, or agreement from anyone else other than your Heavenly Father. You have something special to offer. And no one can take that away from you. Your arrival on this earth is not an accident. Even if you weren't planned by your parents, like I was not planned by my parents. My parents were very young, 19 and 16 years old. God orchestrated your time on this earth for such a time as this. Do you think he orchestrated Esther on the earth for her time just to wear, to dress up and wear beautiful dresses? Or was there a purpose? Great men and women are only born at the time that they're needed the most. You were born when, where, and what you're meant to be because God arranged your life for such a time as this. It's your purpose. God creates us, empowers us, equips us for what people need in your time on the earth. Purpose always has the answer to some problems that exist in the period that you live in. Not only do you need to meet your Goliath, and if you want to, what compares to the problems of your time, but your Goliath needs to meet you. Don't you think God is surprised by what's going on right now? I want to remind you of something, that this world is not, it's not our home. But it is our calling, and we have been called to answer the issues of today. Our relationship with God should change our relationship with other people. I spend time with God in the mornings before everyone in my house awakes. I need that time to get me centered. Man, it is not easy to show the same love God shows me, and I show God. It's not easy for that. That love is easy for me to receive his love and me to give love and we spend time together. But it's not easy to show to other people at all times. It's just not. I don't know about you, but for me, it is not. But he called, crafted, and created us to do so and address issues of our day. One of the issues of our day that leaves a stain on America's clothes is racism. And before I get into this message, this is not my opinion. This is straight from the word, the playbook, the truth. The foundation is right here. Let me remind you of something that he said in the playbook, Matthew 25, 35 to 40. And I read from the New International Version, the NIV. Listen to these words. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, they're like, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. These are God's words. Hard to live by. Well, the passage I'm coming at today, and I really don't have a title. I really wanted to name it, You Broke It, Now You Fix It. So maybe that'll be the title. I don't know, but You Broke It, Now You Fix It. But we're going to be in Luke 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And for some reason, as I was praying, found out about this maybe 4 weeks ago, to ask to come here, and I just start praying and praying and praying. And all my time together with God, this Samaritans keep coming up. So I said, okay, God, let's talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let me read it to give some context to what we're talking about. You got my Bible here. You got your Bible, whether it's on your phone, whether you got it hand printed. Let's go to it. Let's go to Luke 10, 25 to 37. All right. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Hold on a second. Test Jesus? I just love the Bible, because when you really break it down and you really study what it says, you would scratch your head. Who could test Jesus? Who could test Jesus? I don't know if you're on TikTok at all. I'm TikTok. I'm on it way too much than I should be. But there's this one couple, a husband and a wife, where the wife comes in and she asks them all these riddles and questions all the time, and she books the stumping. Matter of fact, she just did stump him, that's all. But she hadn't for a long time. And he comes and gets the riddles every single time. Well, that's like going to Jesus and thinking that you're going to stump him. You're not going to stump him. Let me get back to it. So anyway, so to test Jesus, he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? The expert of law answered, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And basically, Jesus said, cool. Do that. That's basically what Jesus said. He said, cool, do that. Isn't it funny how we ask questions? I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. That we ask questions to God, and he gives us the answer. But we always want to justify it, because it's not the answer we wanted to hear. Whew. Man. Okay, so here's what he does. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, so who's my neighbor? Is it the one to the right, the one to the left, the one across the street? Who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man pass by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to the inn, took care of him. The next day, He took out two silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of a robber? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, I'm sure most of you are Bible scholars that are listening or here live with us today. And I ain't saying I'm a Bible scholar. Man, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm digging into this playbook daily. And if you looked at my playbook, it's all marked up and circled and highlighted and notes written all over it. I'd never hear the same thing from Jesus if I read this passage 20 times. But here's what he told me to tell you. Let's break this down. Remember, I'm a coach. So it's like breaking down game film. Okay? Let's look at the beginning in Luke 10:25. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay? I love how Jesus answers this. He does his best. He answers a question with a question. He makes you think deeper than what you think you can think. But remember, the questions you ask determine the conclusions you come to. There are times that the quality of our information is tied to the quality of our questions. He asked him, "What is written in the law?" But the more important question was, he goes, "How do you read it?" Even Christians to this day have taken this book and twisted it to make it be their answer. And that's not the right thing to do. Because you can't interpret right if you're reading wrong. Matter of fact, Jesus does his best. Jesus can't argue and educate you at the same time. How many of us are trying to do that on Facebook with our friends with issues? We're trying to argue and educate at the same time. Jesus knows that at times we need mentorship, we need deposited into, and at times we need coaching where he needs to pull things out of us. Let's go down here a little bit further, okay, in the text. Right? As he answers their great question, Jesus said, "Cool, do that." He justifies himself. But let's picture what happened to this man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of the robbers. Let's look at this in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Can you picture this? Stripped totally naked, laying on the road, robbed him of his dignity. Beaten, totally naked, lying on the road, injured, hurting, leaving him half dead. Totally naked, lying on the road, beaten, injured, left abandoned. Is this a powerful picture of racism in America? Racism's taking people's dignity because of the color of their skin. Injuring them professionally, relationally, emotionally, financially, physically, abandoning them. Figure it out on your own. I got up, so you get up. I got problems. I've solved mine. I'm not responsible. Has any of us ever said that? Verse 31. The priest, the posture of our religious leaders of those times, happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. I can imagine him walking down the sidewalk on the right side of the road, seeing somebody naked, injured, hurting, nobody around, and he crosses the other side to get on the left side of the sidewalk and walk down. You know what the problem is? Most people think, I don't have to solve it if I act like I don't see it. Verse 32, so a Levite, which is another, like an assistant to the religious, to the priest, when he came down to the place and saw him pass by on the other side, he's just following the same example that he's been given to him from somebody who's in leadership in front of him. Like, you know what? If I act like I don't see it, I don't have to solve it, and walks down the other side. Leaders. And we're all leaders. We have leadership as a mom and dad. We have leadership maybe if you're in a company or a team. All of us are leading somewhere in our lives and passing things on. You know what? These religious leaders, they're probably good people in the inside the temple. When they're inside the temple and they're preaching and giving, they're probably good people. But the one thing they didn't understand, they didn't understand that their calling was to leave the church building. They probably knew theology, but they didn't know how to truly love. Well, I didn't cause that. I'm not that way. I'm not racist. I'm not prejudiced. I don't understand why I got to take responsibility to help you when I didn't knock you down. Man, I'd have to ask for forgiveness because I've said some of these things. I've had to ask for forgiveness. I've been praying. And maybe I can understand the thinking like this if you're not a Christian, but now I'm challenged if you're a Christian and you think that way. Because the only reason we're all standing here is because God solved a problem he didn't cause. What if God would have said to Adam and Eve, you broke it, now you fix it. But you know our ever-loving God would never say that. Let's go down to verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. I want to break this down a little bit. You know, this Samaritan. When I started thinking about this Samaritan and everything that he did, and, you know, look at the things he did. He came to where the man was. He took pity on him, empathy, bandaged his wound. He helped heal him. He used his resources, his donkey, his money. He used his influence with the innkeeper. He had responsibility to reimburse if it was over the amount. And you know what? The Samaritan was on his way somewhere else. But he recognizes that God's interruptions is our opportunities. Do you realize back in the day there was racial tension in those days between the Jews and the Samaritans? The Samaritans were a mixed race by the religious Jews. A Samaritan would be the most unlikely person to stop and help a Jewish man. Remember the story when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Do you remember how he got there? I don't know if you know this, but Jews usually walked 2 to 3 times longer so they would not have to go through Samaria. And Jesus went right through it. Want to know why? Jesus wanted me to tell you that Jesus is a person that meets things head on. And here's what he wanted me to ask you today. He wanted to ask me this. He asked me to ask you, what Samaria, are you walking around in your life that God wants you to walk through? And how long are you going to do it? I don't know if you ever knew the story about cattle and buffalo and the differences when they see a storm coming. Okay, so when cattle see a storm coming, I want to see how I can illustrate this. If the storm's coming from the west to the east, cattle see the storm coming and they start running away from the storm. They start running away. Of course, they can't outrun the storm, but then when the storm gets on top of them, they're still running with the storm. They're enduring the pain longer than what they have to, and they're trying to run away from the storm, but they stay in it longer because they keep running with the storm. Then, buffalo, no joke. When they know a storm is coming, buffalo run to the highest point where they can see the storm. And as soon as they all can see it, they run right into the storm. That's what buffalo do. And it lessens the pain. They meet things head on. God asked me to ask you, what Samaria are you walking around in your life that God wants you to walk through, and how long are you going to do it? You know what the thing about Samaritans? They might have not always knew what God wanted them to do, the religion. They might have not always agreed with the law of religion. But what this Samaritan got right, he got love right. In church, we need to get love right. So I'm sure a lot of us have been asking, because I know I have, what should I do? What am I supposed to do? I know I'm supposed to do something, but what? Church, I've been asking the same question to myself. I have black friends that I've worked with and many black people that have been around all my life, and they've all been wonderful people, all of them. And I've said some of the same crazy things is, well, I'm not prejudiced and I'm not racist and I've never treated anybody bad. I've said all this stuff and you know, I started getting offended a little bit during this time because I was like, man, what should I do? And I know I should do something. So I started reaching out to some of my black friends and say, listen, I want to start with myself. I don't know what to do. I want to take care of my family and teach my kids how you want to be seen through how you want people to see you, because I want my kids to see you. And all my kids have black friends. We all do. And because I wanted to start with them, because I didn't want anything passed along different from them. And some of them, and I started getting frustrated and offended because some of them started coming back at me and say, well, what do you want to do this for? Do you want to use it to post to make yourself look good? Da, 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 da. And I started getting offended, and I realized there's so much hurt going on. Sometimes you don't know what to say. And if you don't say nothing, then it's not good either. That's how much hurt and pain that is going on. You know, an offense is an event. Being offended is optional. And it is possible to live unoffended. It is. So what do we do? Let's go back to the Bible. Let's see. Well, first of all, let's start with you. I started with me. Start with you. One, we can admit that racism is real and it's evil. We can admit that. Listen, one thing about white privilege is this. Nobody's ever looked at me because of the color of my skin and made a judgment on me. Never in my life will that ever, ever happen. It won't happen. But it is real. Racism is real and it is evil. I think we can listen to our black friends. As famous leader in leadership, Stephen Covey says, seek to understand how they feel rather than to be understood. I have a friend I used to do business with, and I can see he's very hurt. And he started doing Zoom meetings with family members and stuff just to relieve everybody's tension so they can get on there and do it in a good way, in a positive way with one another, to help each other and encourage each other how to go help other people and educate other people rather than going out and just doing stuff that was out of hurt and anger. And I asked him, can I get on? And I just sat there and listened. With a bunch of black people, here's this white guy. But it meant the world to him. I'm still seeking to understand rather than to be understood. I'm praying for my heart to always be right. You know, we should do what the Samaritan did. Let's just do what the Samaritan did with people. Let's meet them where they're at. Let's walk with them. Let's show them empathy. Let's pray for healing over their hurts. Let's use our resources and influence to help them. You know, we must love why God has given things to us more than what God has given to us. And don't just do it one time. But live your life this way always. And check in. Follow up. Follow through. 2. If you got kids, you got family, talk with them. We talk to our kids, or I hope we do, about sex, drugs, COVID, racism. Everyone is created in the image of God. And information is being passed generationally. You have a time to start with you, start with your family. Just like my wife, Corey, and our 10-year-old daughter, when they turned 10, our daughters turned 10, Haley turned 10 last year. My wife takes them on a trip, and I'll take the boy, you know, Flynn, on a trip when he turns 10. And we have the sex talk. We're not leaving it to chance. We're going to do it God's way. And we have help with that and the right materials and education. But we are not leaving anything to chance. I'm going to talk to the dad. It's a father's gift. Here's a father's gift. And I have not done this perfectly, but boy, I am striving for excellence every single day. And I pray for all fathers to strive for excellence like this. We are called to unleash Christ-centered, biblically anchored world changers. We're called to expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. Give the credit to God for every good thing that happens. Help our children know God through prayer and His Word. Expose them to the presence and power of God in His church. Kids should never ask the question, are we going to church? We are the church. It's got to be their identity, a part of who they are, their friendships. If we overrule church for other things, like sports, I'm a big sports guy. Like, I'm tired. Any excuse you want to put in there. But never overrule the things for church or send them a bad message. And expose them, fathers, to the thrill of being used by God. Because God created them to be great. If you want your kids to see a father in God, let them see the God in their dad. The third thing we can do, love, and love some more. I know people struggle with, because I see this, Black Lives Matter. Well, all lives matter. I heard it put in a very profound way, Pastor Craig Kershaw, Life Church pastor. Yes, all lives matter. Right now, Black Lives Matter. Okay? It'd be like if my daughter Haley gets hurt by someone, I'm not going to say, all my children got hurt. I'm going to be focused on Haley got hurt and solving that problem. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all. Let me land a plane here. I hope this soaked into your heart like it's been soaking into mine. I pray there's a harvest out of this, that we are Christians. God is his smiling face down on us and, man, good job, you good and faithful servants. Man, you get it. Isn't Jesus our good Samaritan? Does he stoop down and touch us and heal us and lift us up and carry us on our journey and pay our debts? And he promises to return and reward those who do his will. Love is an action, not a feeling. I'm so glad God took action for me and you at the cross, and it just wasn't a feeling. When it started to hurt, I'm glad he didn't give up. Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But he also gave us the Great Command. Love never settles. It's our responsibility to meet these issues head on, because we love God and we love this country. This is our Goliath. God's raising up some Davids. Amen? Amen, church. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us love. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not being a feeling when it hurt that you gave up. You never gave up. You still don't give up. Help us look inside ourselves. Help us have a great heart. Help us be the good Samaritan in this world for such a time as this. Help us be examples, great men and women, to our family and our kids. Let's pass on with your help and partner with us. And help us love. Love and love some more. God, we need your help. Thank you, Father. We pray this in your son, Jesus' name.